Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%. APR, 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run on BFM 89.9, The Business Station, 7:36. Right now, I'm Melissa Idris with Tan Chung Han. And let's cross over now to Hong Kong. We've got Mikhail Kumada on the line. He's a global strategist for LGT Capital Partners.
Good morning, Mikyo. All right, just hours ago, North Korea firing yet another missile over Japan. Its second one over just this past month. So investors obviously in risk-off mode. Now, you're an investor. How do you try and even plan a long-term strategy given these recent geopolitical tensions?
Good morning. Yes, indeed. Although this one, I must say, compared to the last missile they fired, appears to be to have landed further away from Japan. So in that sense, maybe it's less intense. Of course, it's not a good thing. With regards to investments, you know, we try to, because geopolitical crises cannot really be our external events, not macroeconomic events, cannot really be designed into an investment strategy. They can happen at any time. We look at it from a long-term perspective. And the way we approach it is by having a very high allocation to alternative investments that includes hedge fund strategies, macro strategies that can generate returns independent of the market's direction. Things like insurance-linked investments, insurance-linked strategies, which are correlated from economic events, and that also has a portfolio diversifying effect. So these strategies may have a disadvantage when markets are good and keep rising, as is the case in recent years. It's like an insurance. You have to pay a premium, so to speak, during good times, but they do pay off when big crises do indeed happen. That's what history shows. Even when a crisis happens, you do have big sell-offs. So that's how we handle. Of course, in the short term, we also look at how we try to assess the situation in the active management, because you do have sell-offs that can be very sharp in crisis. But our assessment at the moment is that North Korea does not have the potential to sink the global economy and the global markets. We do not think it will escalate.
Now, you're making that separation between these external events, these geopolitical crises versus macroeconomic events, right? But can we really make such a distinction? Because you've got comments from U.S. President Donald Trump saying that all options are on the table. If these provocations do trigger a response from the U.S., won't this translate into some real effects into the U.S. economy?
Well, of course, you know, our judgment and assessment can be wrong. But last time we discussed this, we believe that there's one thing in the belligerence of the rhetoric that is there. Admittedly, the U.S. has also been much more aggressive in its communication, and in some ways also in its actions. They deployed several aircraft carriers. So you're right, Trump is much more aggressive and much more willing to stand against North Korea, at least rhetorically. But at the end of the day, what matters in such situation is the real situation on the ground. North Korea, as you know, to a degree, perhaps not supported, but to a degree backed by the positions and the interests of Russia and China. And so we think at the end of the day, the realpolitik will prevail in the Korean Peninsula. And it's in nobody's interest. A war would be in nobody's interest. So I think a diplomatic solution will be the ultimate outcome
Got it. Now, let's stick with the U.S. then. We saw the inflation rising 1.9% on year in August, close to the Fed's 2% target. Does this give Janet Yellen the all clear to hike U.S. interest rates for a third time this year?
No, I don't think so. At least that's my personal view. I mean, of course, it gives her or the Fed, let's say, more reason than before to move towards the hawkish side. But keep in mind, you know, the real target is the 2% inflation is not a ceiling, and the Fed has said as much. It's it should be average 2% over time, a steady 2%, right? So the more appropriate measure to look at would be either the PCE, the personal consumption deflator, that index, or perhaps even the core inflation index, which is around 1.6, 1.7. So if the Fed's target was 1.7, they would be having hit their target, and they would be justified to go ahead and hike rates. But now they're still at 1.9 on the headline, much lower on the average numbers. So I think it's too early. But, you know, the Fed has effectively signaled that in a way it's happy. So the chances are, of course, increased now that they will actually hike. It's probably a little bit too early.
All right, so look out for PCE, look out for core inflation as opposed to, say, well, less on headline. But what about jobless claims or, you know, even non-farm payrolls then? Because we did see that unexpected drop in U.S. jobless claims just last week, down to 284,000. That's below the estimated 300,000. So what do you think could derail the U.S. economic story at this point in time?
Well, you know, that's the good news. First of all, I don't think the job numbers matter that much. I mean, they give you a good indicator of whether the economy is doing well or not. But in terms of inflation, they don't really tell you much these days. We've been having a very good job market based on the numbers for years without any significant inflation or impact on monetary policy. So I wouldn't be too concerned or too looking into these numbers too much. And that's one thing. The other thing is that, you know, we're talking about relatively small deviations from their target. I mean, overall, the U.S. economy is doing fine. Inflation is not at 2% average, but at 1.7% average. That's below target and costs some credibility for the Fed, but it's not the end of the world. It's still a relatively good number. So I don't think too many things derailing the U.S. economy. I think the U.S. economy is doing fine, even considering the fact that there is a quagmire political situation that is not very nice in Washington. They do not really get things done, and yet the economy is doing quite well with or without additional support from tax reform or any investment plan and so forth. So, you know, overall, the U.S. economy is performing well, not as good as could if it had a much better Fed policy and an even better administration. But, you know, we take it for what it is. It's good enough.
Got it. Now, from the Fed, we cross over to their counterparts in the UK. So you've got the Bank of England signaling a hawkish tone, saying they are headed for its first rate hike in over 10 years. But given the false dawns back in 2014 and in 2015, do you think Mark Carney will actually come good this time around?
Well, the Bank of England, or let's say the British economy, is one of the very few economies out there that actually have above target inflation. So the Bank of England, in that sense, has overshot its target, and it should be hiking rates, actually. So I would, in general, agree with Mark Carney, and I think that he should also go ahead. But that's just my personal view. As we all know, Britain has also a little bit of an issue on the supply side of the economy because it decided to impose a very big supply side shock to its economy by leaving the biggest trade bloc in which it was a member of, right, the European Union. So that is a supply shock and a very special situation, a very hard call to make whether that will again compel the Bank of England not to go ahead with tightening, even though they are really the only major central bank that has overshot its target and should be raising rates.
So we'll certainly wait and see if this global tightening chorus does grow louder. Hey, Mikyo, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. That was Mikyo Kumada, global strategist with LGT Capital Partners in Hong Kong.
Han, thanks for that look at international markets. After this, we're going to be looking at Maju Holdings' bid to take over Plus Highways. Stay tuned for the details on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now's the time to find your color, your paint, and everything to get started during Red, White, and Blue Savings at the Home Depot. Transforming your room is easier than ever. With the best deals online and in-store, you can confidently select your color and the tools for your next paint project. Get a colorful new experience and the right paint for the right price. Save $10 on 1 gallon and $40 off 3 and 5 gallons for a limited time only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Limit 25 gallons per household. See store for details.